The following is brought to you in part by MFC Studios. The views of the show's host and guests do not necessarily reflect those of the management, owners, or staff of this radio station. And now, it came from the radio.
Yep, a toy, and welcome once again to It Came From the Radio, the official show of the Big Apple Con. This is your host, Mark Torres, speaking. With me in the studio, once again, we have Mr. Hassan Godwin.
What does Yabatoy mean?
Yabatoy.
Thank you. Thank you. Universal greeting.
It says hello to all my longtime fans.
How is anybody supposed to know that? What language is Yabatoy?
That's a Mark Torres.
That's Mark Torres. Torres. Torresian language.
It's
language. It's Chai Creationese speak. How's that? I cover everything.
Now everybody knows. Now it's out there in the ether.
And also. We have the Hurricane's very own David Donovan.
Hey, how y'all doing? Hassan, I'm so happy to meet you. I can't turn and look at you because I have to speak
directly. No, you got to speak directly into the microphone.
So I'm looking at you in my peripheral vision.
Yes.
And I can see you making
hello.
Faces. Hello. Is that a little better? Is that a little better?
Right there. That's perfect. Right there. Perfect.
Well, as long as you're good with having your microphone handled by another man. It's fine.
Well, this is going to be this kind of show, guys.
I'm not talking about the bathroom. Be quiet, Hassan.
So on this week's show, in addition to talking to with and about David, which is awesome because he's here.
That's true.
I, at C2E2, interview comic book creator Joe McPhee.
Ooh.
And Elman Jenny Feldy interviews author and musician Chris Kaufman. But before we do any of that, we have to take it away with the non-news.
It's Morphin time!
The same as the news intro.
Yeah.
How is it a non-news the same as the news? How's anybody supposed to know the difference? All right, never mind. Please continue.
That's Tourette's language.
It's brought to you in part by your fine folks at sci-fi.radio. That is sci-fi.
For your Wi-Fi. Hey, everybody knows that.
Man.
It's going to be a long half hour.
Is it over yet, Hassan?
No, it's not. Don't look at me. Pay attention to my room.
As well as the fine folks of the Big Apple Con, which you are the official radio show of, celebrating the 26, 7, 8, 9 years of comic bookness and pop culture stuff. For more information, go to www.bigapplecc.com. The next convention is scheduled all the way for November the 21st.
Tickets are not on sale.
Yeah, nothing. Right, nothing. You get nothing.
Nothing. Go there, you get nothing. Show up now, no one is there. Come back in November.
Please do not go now. We are not to be held responsible.
Actually, if you're close, go down there and tell us what it looks like. That's
exactly.
What we'd like to know. What's going on right
Case
now?
Case the joint for us.
Also, one of our shout-outs to our Patreons, of which there are Danny Grillo, award-winning director Jared Burrell, Newsday Famous Resin Media, Shadow Rabbit Art, Yasin and Ray, The Hurricane.
That's me, The Hurricane. Woohoo!
And Millie Portis.
It's a party.
Brian is like, what the hell is going on over here?
There's more lively than
on, Brian. We're keeping an eye on you.
More lively than I've ever seen this show. This is a geek show.
I'll be back next week, folks. Call in.
If you want to have a little shout out, go to our website, www.itcamefrom.com.
It's worth $1 a month. Come on, you can hear your name on the radio every month. It's $1. Please. If we switch it around, Hurricane goes last, though, because I like when you kind of, you know.
Oh, okay.
You totally threw him off track.
That's true. $1 a month gets you a shout-out on the show. Come on.
That's not that hard.
Come on, really. $1, it's like 25 cents
even
a week.
Even in this economy, you can
throw
$1.
This guy does four shows a month. Give him a break. Come on. He's got to say your stupid name four times a month.
I'm sorry.
Also on the Cambridge Way website is my book designated a book about two warring alien races sliding over a new discovered power source, the Warfinder's way to planet Earth, and as a result, some humans gain abilities. Issue 1 is on sale right now. Issue 2 is in the printer, and it should be ready.
But the cover isn't done. The cover isn't done.
No, it is done. We are done.
I listened to the show. Yeah. Hey, look at me.
It's actually at the printer right now. I should be getting the books this week.
I saw some residuals of it, and it's actually very nice.
Yeah, yeah.
And Mark is actually happy with it. That's another big thing.
Who did the cover? You never say who did the cover.
It's a photo cover and artistic cover. So we have our co-host, L. Man Jenny Feldy, is the model for the cover.
I think I saw that on Facebook.
And we have Brian Kong and our graphic designer, Abby Gabato, did a collaboration for the background images.
Very cool. Very cool.
I should have the book, if everything works out well, fingers crossed, at the MCon, which is on next week on the 25th and 26th.
Oh, nice.
I have issue 2 there. And also at the Mid-On Collectibles, on Free Comic Book Day, we're going to be having a book signing where Jen will be autographing and personalizing issue 2 for anybody who's interested. So
fantastic.
If you want to just stay tuned to our show.
Yeah, very cool.
Oh, mama. I think we're ready.
Notice how I toned it down.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
we did. By the way, you do all that stuff without all that stuff is like in your head.
Off,
you
90%
you just spit
90%
it out. It's amazing.
Is his memory, yes.
Wow.
I think
20%. And I always try to trip him up, and I never managed to do it.
You did a good job today.
It's all Hassan's fault.
All right, so we're ready for our break. I'm going to take a quick
break.
We'll be right back.
We're gonna take a nap.
It came from the radio.
Hi, you've heard my voice open and close the show. Now we want to hear your voice. If you have a business or product, you can record a commercial here. We offer 30 and 60 second spots. For more information, contact Mark at MFC_studios@hotmail.com.
Calling all comic fans, Hurricane, Long Island's only benefit comic art convention, returns in 2026. Join us May 9th and December 12th at Bethany Congregational Church, East Rockaway, New York. Grab toys and collectibles, dig through comic books, meet artists and writers, enter amazing raffles, enjoy food, fellowship, and rock your cosplay. Just a $5 donation gets you in from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Visit Hurricane on Facebook, and on Instagram it's Hurricane LI for details. Hurricane, where heroes unite for good.
I'm Olivia Youngers from Star Trek Picard, and you're listening to It Came From the Radio.
BKG Productions LLC, your ultimate audio transformation partner. Got audio that needs a magic touch? I am here to elevate your content. Specializing in professional audio editing, I can clean up background noise, plosives, and pesky S sounds. From podcasts to songs, I've got you covered. Whether it's an interview, music track, setting volumes to precise specs, email bkgvobiz@gmail.com or go to fiverr.com, search for BK Graves 1, and trust me to make your sound sparkle.
Michael McManus. I played Kai on Lex. You're listening to It Came From the Radio.
My neural net processor is linked to sci-fi.radio, the sci-fi for my Wi-Fi. The more I listen, the more I learn.
Hello, everyone. This is Ellen Dubin from Lex, and guess what you're listening to? It Came From the Radio. Keep listening.
Step into the fantastic world of cool kids comics and toys at 2055 Hempstead Turnpike, East Meadow, New York. Discover Comic-Con exclusives, the latest Funko Pops, and a treasure trove of new and vintage toys and comics. Whether you're a collector or a first-time visitor, we got something to spark your imagination over here. Visit Cool Kids Comics and Toys today. Let your adventure begin, huh?
Hey, everybody. This is Todd McFarlane of the record-setting Spawn comic series. And if you're looking for any kind of cool conversation about creators, about entertainment, about all that good stuff, you go to It Came From the Radio. You're listening to the right spot.
Comic Books for Kids is the largest charity in the U.S. for comic books, toys, and pop culture items to children in hospitals and cancer centers. Donations of toys, books, action figures, Funko Pops, or anything pop culture related can be made to this organization. Find them at cb4k.org.
Hello, this is Carrie Hoskins. I play Sonya Blade in Mortal Kombat. You are listening to It Came From the Radio.
Now, back to our show.
And welcome back to It Came From the Radio, the official show of the Big Apple Con. This is your host, Mark Torres.
What's the matter, Mark?
With Mr. Hassan Godwin.
Yay.
And Mr. Hurricane's very own David Donovan.
Thank you so much, Mark, who eats a piece of pizza in 1 hour. Yeah, baby.
One slice of pizza.
Extra
the
cheese.
The slow devouring of one cheese, slice baby. Of pizza.
So anyway, talking about Charlie, I want to send a shout out to Charlie. I miss seeing Charlie Saladino, right?
Yes, to Mr. Charlie Saladino. I've seen a corresponding Charlie Saladino.
Yeah. Charlie, hope you're doing better, Charlie, all right?
We were talking about him before, during the break, so no one knows we were talking about Charlie.
They weren't Charlie listening to that?
Charlie's ears are burning.
Oh, is that what it was?
We were talking about him.
So, everybody knows we have a great relationship with Mr. David Donovan here.
I hope so.
Absolutely. Oh, wait. This weekend, I was up in the Kingston at the Kingston Independent Comic Con trying to rustle up some business. And all my kids talked about Mark. Is Mark Torres coming? Because he takes all his pictures. But he only takes pictures of raffle winners. And Hassan says he has something to do. He doesn't like losers. So if you come to the Hurricane and you lose, get out. Mark wants nothing to do with you.
Do not go near Mark.
All right?
Did you win? Did you win the raffle?
Did you win?
No.
Go away. I have Negan's bat that I won at the raffle. Go away. I'm holding it.
So since you mentioned the raffle, I'm gonna start off right there. The Hurricane is a small little convention, but it has the best raffle for any convention I've ever been to or
seen. Thank you, Mark. That's very nice.
It blows my mind how much great stuff you have.
I work all year on it. I have a lot of good friends, too. I have 3 really good pieces of original art that are going up that are amazing. We got a lot of got some signed books. We have big oversized books that we got. I pretty much collect all year for this event. And it's a lot of fun for me. I get a big kick out of it. I really do.
And the raffle is only $5 a ticket, which is mind-blowing that you can come in potentially and throw down $5 entry, right?
And
so
win
$10.
And win Negan's bat.
And win something extraordinary. Yeah. There's omnibuses, there's figurines, there's so many great things. Was that something that was part of the plan when you decided to make the Hurricane?
The Hurricane is a fundraiser. All the money goes back to the church. So you have to say, okay, what can we do to make money? Well, you charge for the tables, right? Now, when you charge for the tables, like the vendors pay, but sometimes the artists don't because, you know, they don't make much. It's like, fine, whatever. It's $5 to get in, right? So it's $5 for an adult. But when a kid comes in a costume, he gets in for nothing. That's the way a comic book convention should be run in my book. I'm like, guys, look, guy's coming down with 3 kids. Let him pay. Let the kids in for nothing, okay? Come on. We give away free comics to everybody. There's a table in front with just free comics. They can take as many as they want. And the more they take, the less they have to put away. So that's perfect. So we got that. We got the tables. We sell food. We don't make a lot of money on the food, but that's to keep people there. We have the walking taco, which is fantastic. We have a lady named Linda who's worked with me since day one in 2018.
Shout out
running
to Linda.
The kitchen. She's fantastic. My wife Linda also works in the kitchen, so there are 2 Lindas, and there's also Dolores in the kitchen. They take care of all that.
Do you get confused with the 2 Lindas?
I do not. They're very different.
No,
very
don't.
Linda's
you
in
don't
charge.
Confuse your wife
Linda number one's in charge. And actually, Linda, my wife Linda, came up with the idea for the Hurricane because what happened was we had to raise money in the church to fix the floor that was damaged during Sandy because Bethany Congregational Church of East Rockaway was the relief center. Everybody came there after Sandy. They tracked in oil. They tracked in dirt. They tracked in sewage from the sewage plant that overflowed. The floor was a disaster. We had to fix the floor, and they said, what can we do? I said, I don't know. Well, I approached a couple of people who do cons here on Long Island who remain nameless, and we said, do you want to use this space? No, we can't make any money. Why not? Too small. Okay, fine. I go home to my wife, and I said, we're not doing it. She goes, why? I said, they said they can't make any money in this space. She goes, well, why don't you do it? I'm like, why would I want to run a comic book convention? And Linda looked at me and said, I don't know. Why would you want to run a comic book convention? So it's been going on since 2018. And the raffle part was from the beginning. I don't know how I got the idea to do it, but it grew and grew and grew. And it's just, you know, people send stuff. I contact people online about it. All the shops in the area mostly give me things for it, so that's just wonderful. We have a good relationship with Cosmic Comics of Baldwin. They give us a lot of the comics. Escape Pod Comics, my pal Menachem always gives you some stuff. So everybody kind of, you know, I contact everybody for donations. They don't give anything, it doesn't matter. But that's probably the biggest part of the fundraiser is the raffle. And like, I never looked at it that way. It's just $5. You can win something pretty cool. That's actually a pretty good deal, I think. And it's $5 each, and then I believe it's like 5 for $20. Everybody throws out a 20. And it's fantastic.
Yeah.
Works out really, really well. We make some money for the church. The church has been there since 1885. So everything breaks. Church is an open and affirming congregation. Everybody is allowed in. There is no secret handshakes, no passwords. If you want to shake my hand and tell me a secret, that's okay. But that's got nothing to do with it.
Not required anything.
It's a completely different exchange, by the way.
That's a different
situation.
That's true.
Totally different situation. That's a side business.
That's true.
Shake but my hand, tell me a secret.
It's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing.
I can see him on the corner.
Yeah.
Shake my hand, tell me a secret, and then come buy some comics.
Yes, and then you may have a free comic.
And we've been doing this since 2018, and I was only doing it once a year, and then about 3 years into it, they said to me, David, the furnace broke. I'm like, wow, what are you going to do? They said, well, you think you should do another show? I'm like, do another show? One's enough. They said, no, do another show. Guess what you could call it? I said, I don't know. What can you call it? You can call it Furnace Con. So 1 year, we didn't do a Hurricane. We did a Furnace Con, and that money went toward the furnace.
So when the toilet breaks, you're going to have a toilet con?
You always say that!
Oh, boy. Recycle jokes. This one.
Let's get back to the pizza. Let's talk about
my
pizza.
Favorite old
pizza,
joke.
Pizza.
Hassan, do you have a question for David?
Oh,
I don't know. What question could I possibly have?
To follow up toilet con? At least I didn't ask him why doesn't he name it the David con.
That's true. Most of them come down to see me. They do come to see me. They do come to see me. I can imagine.
I can see them doing that.
We have a lot of fun. We do hourly giveaways, half-hourly giveaways. We give away hardcovers and sketches and stuff like that. Every half hour, we're giving something away.
So what would you say to someone who out here? Because this place, Long Island, seems to be like this, a breeding ground for shows.
Oh,
like everybody wants their own show.
100%.
What would your advice be
since
you've
done
it?
Let me tell you
my philosophy of the show. When I was younger, and how old were you in 1975? You're two, right?
I was two, yes.
Two, okay. Well, in 1975, I was 15. So I would go to there was the first Marvel convention, there was the first DC convention, there was Phil Sulin's convention. There were all these shows in Manhattan. And at 15, for some reason, my parents would let me go into Manhattan by myself. And what?
Talking to the mic.
Oh, talking
to
at 15, my parents would let me go into... I thought he was pointing to something else. Anyway, so I did that. And what I did was you meet people of all races and sexual backgrounds and what have you, right? But everybody's accepted because they like comics. It doesn't matter what color you are, who you are, where you're from. Doesn't matter. Because you like comics, you're accepted into this group.
Right.
So that was what I want to do at the Hurricane. I don't care where you're from, who you are, what you did. When you come to this show, you're welcome. We welcome you with open arms. You know, everybody's there to have a good time and just be nice to everybody. And for the most part, we've never, ever really had a problem, thank God. Knock wood, son, right there. I don't think we've had a problem. So it's a very welcoming community.
So your advice is to be nice.
100%. Don't be a jerk. Don't be a
jerk. That's Hassan.
Don't be a jerk.
That's Hassan thing. Don't be a jerk.
Don't be a jerk. Well, I mean... That would be my advice to the fans.
Yeah, 100%. But it's you know what I would say to other con organizers, and look, my show is a very small show. Look, it's been around for a long time. It'll be like in 2 years, it'll be 10 years, which I can't believe.
Nice.
I would say to any person throwing a comic book convention, just remember what it is to be on the other side of the table. Be the person coming in there. Be that shy person coming in there. Be that person that doesn't belong. When I was in school and you read comics, man, you were out.
Yeah.
You were out. I had this one girl in grammar school. Her name was Debbie. I'm not going to say her last name. But she saw me with comics and she said, you read baby books. I'm like, what is that?
Baby books.
You know, I'm reading the Spider-Man issue about drugs. What are you talking about?
Yeah, you have no idea.
And where
I got
Debbie
my
now?
Toes dipped into adulthood right here, lady. You don't even know.
And Debbie is...
Yeah, where's she now? Yeah, you didn't read comics, and now you're a loser, and I have a show.
So Debbie is not allowed at the Hurricane.
No.
If she does, she Debbie's comes the only sunglasses. One. I never know it's her.
She's the only one that can't come in.
One Debbie, you have a picture like Al Bundy, and now this person not allowed
That's
in
it.
The Hurricane.
Or we'll take a Polaroid and put it up next to the door, you know. So I would say to any convention, just really, you know, and you know, the thing is, you never know what everybody's going through, right? So, you know, a lot of people that read comics are very introverted. People, they're very solitary people, you know. And coming into that show sometimes can really blow them away, you know. So what I try and do is like when we had Joe Kelly at the show, Cosmic Comics gave me a load of Spider-Man number ones to give away. So that was like an hourly giveaway, and I would take every winner over to Joe Kelly and have him sign the book to them, and they'd get to meet him and talk to him, and that you could see people's face lighting up like, wow,
yeah.
I mean, the writer of Amazing Spider-Man. That's like
they're getting
totally
value.
Cool. Yeah,
they're getting value. Well, I mean, I think if you're saying remember what it was like to be on the other side of the table. I think that's the best advice I've heard about running one of these shows or doing anything. Like, remember what it was like to be the, you know, to be the customer.
Yeah.
That's
it's,
amazing.
It's you have to, because, and that's also how you get people to come back. Like, you get the kids to come in costume. The kids that come in costume, they're very into it. They want to show you their costume. They want to show you that they're dressed up like Spider-Man. They want to show you this. So it's another thing where that's another way of welcoming them in. Say, hey, you look great. Come on in, you know, what have you. So that's what I would do. I would just say, look, you know, and look, it's a one-day show. Big deal. You know, you're not going to break the bank. Absolutely, you're not going to break the bank. But we want everybody to have a good time. And that's really, to me, what it's all about. Just everybody's accepted. Come on in. We want you here, basically, is what I guess I'm trying to say.
One of the things that I've mentioned many times on this show is that there's different types of experiences for conventions.
Never heard you say that one.
So, for the con goer, a small show of this type, I think it's a really good thing to do, because you get to one-on-one time that if you went to a New York Comic Con, you wouldn't even have a fraction of the time with the people and the talent there. And David does bring in some talent.
Yeah, well, yeah, we have Kristen. She was just on your show. Kristen Gunsnuck is coming in. She did a Hench Girl, and I'm really excited about her because I've followed her work forever, so she's coming down. We also have artist Jeff Brennan, who worked on Courage the Cowardly Dog. We have artist Tom Travers. We have Brian Benjamin. He's another artist coming in. We have Patrick Hickey Jr., who is a voice on the Five Nights at Freddy. And, of course, our old pal publisher and distributor, Phil Russert, who will print your comic and bring it to the comic shop. He'll be there also. And our past guests, like I've said, have been Joe Kelly. We've had Star Trek novelist Michael Jan Friedman. Mm-hmm. We've had artist and writer Franco. And also Keith Williams has come a bunch of times to the show. So it's not the biggest show, but I'm not going to say it's the best show, because it's not the best show. But it's not the biggest show either. But it's a lot of fun.
No, you got a really big guest list, though.
It's like a lot of fun.
It's a big people show.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, you can go in there.
And it's also a good primer for people that maybe don't want to go to a larger show and kind of understand, because it's a lot cheaper to go to that show and interact with everybody. And another strange thing about my show is, at my show, a lot of my friends who want to sell their personal comics come. And you get guys coming in that are buying short boxes of comics for these guys. They go, you're $50, take the whole thing out. And these are books you don't see normally. So everybody from the vendor standpoint always tells me, oh, we did really well. I'm like, really? You know, we sold a lot of books. I'm like, that's amazing. Thank you. So
it's a convention starter show.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'd say. It's a convention starter show, 100%.
Free parking?
Yep, free parking. There's parking behind the church. There's parking at the CVS parking lot. There's parking down the street.
Tried to trip him up with that.
There's parking on the street. There's parking everywhere. Absolutely.
What about parking?
Yeah.
Can you park for free?
You know, parking is a huge deal.
I know. Yeah, I'm just kidding.
Absolutely. There's free parking, and we're open on Saturday, May 9th, okay, which is coming up. And we're also doing it again on December 12th. And it runs from 10 a.m. in the morning till 4 p.m. in the afternoon. It's at Bethany Congregational Church, East Rockaway, New York, 100 Main Street. It's a church that's been in the community since 1885. And we just got a brand new pastor. His name is Pastor Prabhu, who has just joined us, been there about a year. So he's also will be at the show walking around. You can say hello to him.
Will he be giving out free blessings?
He maybe. If you get a ticket, he will absolve you.
If he finds you worthy. You have to be worthy. That's the trick.
But you have to recite the Green Lantern Oath. If you don't recite, he doesn't want to know you if you don't know the Green Lantern Oath. So,
so you have the secret handshake. Tell him a secret.
Yep.
Get a blessing. Yeah, you have to be worthy.
And the Green Lantern Oath. Don't forget the Green Lantern Oath.
There's a lot of commitment. You have to commit to a lot to go
yes.
to this
well,
show.
Yes, well, you know? But we have cue cards. So we have cue cards. We have one guy just stands around with a Green Lantern Oath cue card the whole time. I don't know why he comes, but that's what he does.
They got that immediate cheat sheet. Look over there.
In blackest day. In brighter.
Yeah.
That guy, yeah.
Blast him. Just blast him. Move on. Come on. We got a line building here.
Next.
I absolve you of all your... Go away.
Woo! We got a few minutes left. I want to slip this question in.
Oh, yeah, I would love to hear a question.
What do you think has been the biggest change from the first Huracan to now? You're 10 years in. What has changed within either the convention itself or the world of pop culture in your mind?
Well, first of all, when we started, I don't think there were as many comic conventions as there are now. And there are a lot. and there are a lot of very successful comic conventions here on Long Island, not even in Manhattan. I would say here on Long Island. Look, you got a bunch of stuff in Queens. I'm just talking about Long Island. There's a lot of stuff going on Long Island. And to tell you the truth, it's very hard to pick a date. Like right now, I told you May 9th, right? We usually did it in June and July. Probably the reason we don't do it in June and July is it gets very hot in the gym, and we actually had a vendor collapse and get taken away. I felt very bad about it, but then they found something else wrong with him, and he was getting treated for that. So they said, don't feel bad about it. We found out about this. So that was wonderful. So
That's a church convention right there. That's some divine intervention going on.
Someone came and put their hands on him. No, he's suffering from other things.
He gave the oath. That's it. He gave the oath. He's good.
But his ring was out of power, so he had to bring over the battery. So we had to pick May to get away from that time of the year. And, of course, there are other shows going on. So you just can't pick a date. You have to look at calendars. You have to talk to people. You have to look at where everything else is going on. Actually, I have a calendar where I write down all the shows that are going on, just so I know for myself. I mean, there are monthly shows that go on all the time that you have to keep away from. Luckily, a lot of the shows that are done on Sundays, not Saturdays like mine. Mm-hmm. We don't do it on Sunday because it's church. We're not going to do it after church. You know, that's not going to work out.
Sense.
So we do it on Saturday, like I said, 10 to 4. Saturday, May 9th at Bethany Church, 100 Main Street, East Rockaway, New York. If you want to get in touch with me, it's Hurricon, Hurricon at Yahoo.com. That's Hurricon at Yahoo.com, or Hurricon on Facebook, or Hurricon LI on Instagram. There you go. Got it.
All right, so we're almost out of time. Hassan, do you have any final thoughts?
Go to Hurricon.
Wow, Hassan.
I did that.
Wow.
Nice. Fit that right in there.
Good pizza at Hurricon. Mark will be walking around with a slice for an hour.
One slice all weekend.
David, have a final thought.
My final thought is, first of all, I want to, Hassan, it was a pleasure meeting you, by the way.
Here.
I think you're fabulous. Mark, I think you have been a supporter for a long time. You put up with a lot of my silliness and a lot of my sugarness stuff, so I appreciate that you actually listened to me. I can't believe you invited me back because Hassan and I basically hijacked the show from you. But that's okay because it is our show now. Mark's not going to be here next week, everybody.
Or the both of us won't be here, strangely enough.
It's going to be a Charlie. Hello, Charlie!
So that is it for this week's segment. Everybody listening to us on the air, we'll see you next week.
Hey.
Everybody else, stay tuned for more. It came from the radio.
Fantastic.
CradleCon returns to the Cradle of Aviation Museum May 16th and 17th. This year features a G.I. Joe reunion with Larry Hama, plus the Crow creator James O'Barr. Comics, cosplay, retro gaming, and more, all supporting the museum's education programs. Tickets are at cradleofaviation.org.
Hi, I'm Olivia Youngers from Star Trek Picard, and you're listening to It Came From the Radio.
Now, back to our show.
And welcome back to It Came From the Radio, the official show of the Big Apple Con. This is your host, Mark Torres, speaking. I'm here live on tape at C2E2, all the way in Chicago. I came all the way here just to talk to my good friend Joe McPhee. McPhee, right?
Yes, that's correct.
So, Joe, tell us a little bit about yourself. Tell us how you got into the comics and tell you what's going on, what's happening right now.
Well, I'm Joe D. McPhee. I'm the president of the CGC Studios. This is a small little publishing company here out of Chicago, Illinois. I have been doing comics professionally ever since 2008 here. So that's when the original Amazonia number one came out here. The reason why I do comics, because it was a lifelong passion of mine as soon as I got back from the military, from the Air Force. So I did a couple of years in the Air Force, and then when I started college, one of my college buddies got me started back into drawing comics again. And it got so to the point where it's like he was working on a lot of manga stories, I was working on a lot of American comic stories, and he started to take me to a lot of anime shows. I was with him at Artist Alley, and people started gravitating to the stories that stuff that I was writing, so I went ahead and just made it almost a full-time thing here, because I do have my regular 9-to-5 job here, but I do these type of shows like C2E2 New York, and I've been out to New York back in 2016. I have done Keystone Comic Con in 2019 was Keystone Comic Con. This is my passion here. I have been to every last C2E2 except for one, and that is 2021, the second year of the pandemic.
My first time ever to Chicago was 2020, just before the pandemic started. So it was a crazy little ride. What's the biggest thing that you've noticed a change from 2008 to 2026 as far as comics and the business goes?
What I notice most here is one of the things that kind of makes me kind of sad, and that is being up here in premier space here, I'm so used to being back then, being next to like a Marvel, a DC, a Top Cow, an Image. Now I'm right next to a place that's selling purses, right next to Pokemon being sold and other vendors that selling graphic novels, but the publishers are gone. And if there are publishers here, then normally either in Artist Alley or in small press booths in regular retail space. And it just seems like the focus on the creativity and the actual publishing of comics is diminished, but the pop culture aspect is still alive and going here. And it makes it harder for us smaller people, especially if we're taking that next step, to be recognized, to be out in front, to get that audience that we rightfully deserve here, to pay attention to us.
So as an independent creator, what tactics do you use or what ideas do you have to try to bring yourself to the forefront?
What we count on here is really social media, per se. I do have a podcast called From the Desktop Small Press Publisher, which I do Saturdays at 9 p.m. Central. I also am a part of a group called Comic Book Spectrum, which was originally formed by Brian K. Morris way back when, I want to say back in like 2006 or so, which originally started with him, Clyde Hall, Brian Rodman, and Eric Hall. I was eventually brought into that group about 3 years ago because one of the things that I brought up is that a lot of them kept picking a lot of horror comics, and I wasn't really big on horror comics, so I put the challenge out to them. It's like, find something else. And then they brought me in, and I was like, okay, this is the deal. I'm going to try to find things that you guys might like. I want you guys to find horror-related stories that I might like. And we just kind of met from there. Eventually, Brian K. Morris had to step down as the lead producer, and he pretty much gave me the producer title. And from there, I was pretty much over the show for that point forward here. We had a lot of panel changes here. We have Elaine Haygood that's part of the panel that's with me here at the booth today. And we also have Cliff Wiley, who is in Tennessee, that's a part of our panel on a weekly basis for Comic Book Spectrum. That's been a real eye-opening type deal to actually do those podcasts and having that positive aspect for comics and talking about things that we like and things that we see and things, you know, TV shows and everything, and go across the whole gamut. But never focus on too much on what is bad. It's more about what is good.
So speaking of what is good, what products do you have? What books do you have? Tell us all about your stuff.
Okay, well, I got four comic book series here with us today. Our most popular is Amazonia, which is about a woman by the name of Lisa Masters, who pretty much got shunned and got thrown out of her hometown of Angel Falls back in her high school days here. But the thing about it is that Elisa is not like the stereotypical woman that you might know here. Because she doesn't know her family origin on her mother's side, she went through like several different growth spurts here, and she currently stands at about 18 foot tall here. But she doesn't understand why or how or anything to that magnitude. But when she was ousted from Angel Falls, she was put into this one program by the federal government to train superheroes and everything, so she lived her life as a superhero. Fast forward 7 years later, she finally comes back to her hometown to try to live a normal life. However, she finds out that this one business mogul that's in her town has a vendetta against her dad. The mogul found out that she's back in town. Whole big deal came down to about stealing her DNA, and now they're about to get ready to create super soldiers using her DNA. That's where issue number 7 starts out, where the first being from her DNA is created.
Wow. All right, so that's one book. You said you got four. What are the other three?
AWF is about a wrestling federation that does not know that they're training the next generation of superheroes. All the women that come there may have like all these different super abilities, but they're treated like they're normal individuals here. AWF got popular enough where people complained about there's not enough wrestling, so we came out with Primetime Saturday Night. Primetime Saturday Night is the actual WWE/AEW every Saturday afternoon pro wrestling show that goes the full gamut, full card and everything. You see all the matches and everything in its entirety. What those matches entail, there's no energy blasts or anything to that match, but you got power bombs for 50 feet up in the air, cross corner luchador battles where it's just like one move after another in the mid air. Anything and everything goes here. So it's just one of those types of things that was just real fun if you like pro wrestling. But if you like the behind the scenes, as far as understanding the origins of the characters, the stuff about their life and what is actually going on behind the secrets of this Federation, that's where AWF is for. The last book is the one that we premiered today. Well, I shouldn't say today, but for this C2E2. It is called Legends of the Giants of Slayer. And what that book is about is an anthological series here. And this is more along the lines of taking kind of like a deep dive into lore, especially giant lore. And when you think about giants, you think about Jack and the Beanstalk and all these other things where all the giants were male. What happened to the female giants and everything? Why are they not talked about? And then on top of that, we also look at the fetishization of female giants as well in the series. For each issue, the first story is always going to be more of like a lecture to kind of highlight some of the fetish aspects here to kind of explain what to look for and what are some of the things that might pop up in some of the stories. And then we just go off the rails with different chapters and stories that we have for our anthology series. In issue number one, we start off with the prequel chapters for a horror anthology here. Then that horror anthology deals with the aspect of compatibility. Then we have another one, which is just a fun little romp dealing with experimentation with side effects. And the other one is more of like a comedy dealing with a tailor who inherited this shop from his grandfather, this clothing shop for his grandfather. You know, he was classically trained as a tailor, but it turns out that he was a tailor for beings of another realm. And those realm, and that other realm happened to have female giants as well. And they happened to come and visit in all... Let's just say his life is not going to be the same.
Wow, that actually sounds pretty darn awesome. We're almost out of time, so where can people find out more about your stuff? Where can those social media stuff go?
So you can find our books directly at cgcstudios.com, which is X as in Xerox, I as in India, G as in George, E as in Edward, N as in Nancy, C as in Charlie, Y as in Yankee, studios.com. Or you can hit me up on YouTube, which is From the Death of a Small Press Butter, that is the actual channel. Or you can hit me up on Facebook at Joe D. McPhee.
All right, so we have like 20 seconds left. Do you have any final thoughts for our listeners?
The major thing here is always stay positive. Always talk about what you like, because people, once you talk about what you like, people will start listening to you, and you might make another fan of what you like.
Well, I do like your stuff. I do like you as a cool person. It's finally nice to meet you, an actual physical person, because I've only met you online. So with that, we're going to take a break, and we'll be right back with more. It came from the radio.
This is Michael Bell, the voice of Duke from G.I. Joe. And I am here at CradleCom, and I am with It Came From the Radio.
Now, back to our show.
Welcome back to It Came From the Radio. This is Jennifer Lise Feldman. I'm here with Christopher Kaufman. He's an author, composer, presenter, illustrative artist, and performer. He started creating imaginative fantasy books with illustrative art at the age of 9. During high school years, he found music and attended in music composition at Cornell University, where he studied with seasoned and maybe even you call them infamous composers. His stories never left him. He's now completing book 8 of his classical epic fantasy series, Tales of the Ocean City, for which, in addition to the graphically illustrated pages, he creates audio albums filled with music, narration, and sound design, which I love because if you listen to this show at all, I constantly ask people if they have audiobooks that relate to their books so I can listen and really get into it and have the sound effects and the visuals. So here he is. With no further ado, welcome to It Came From the Radio.
Thank you so much, Jennifer. I'm really happy to be here with you today.
Thank you. Thank you for being here. So what gave you the idea to, I mean, you started with music first before the books, it seems like. So what gave you the idea to add the narration and the music to your books? Most people just put a book out there and it sits on the shelf, and then I harass them about making an audiobook, and then that's it. But you're doing what I've been asking for. So how did you get there?
That's an interesting question, and it took a long time. In your intro there, you mentioned, I'd started writing books and fantasy books with illustrations, you know, when I was a kid, like 9. And then I went to, in New Orleans, the New Orleans Center for Creative Arts. That's where I started music, in New Orleans. And had these great teachers and got into music. Just there was my life. I became a composer and lived the life of a composer. I got my, as you mentioned, my doctorate degrees, advanced degrees in music from Cornell University, where, yeah, I studied with Pulitzer Prize-winning composers and all these amazing people, and made permanent friends with musicians, and I continue with that. But by the time I had finished my degrees, you know, I'm the type of person, you know, maybe you are too, I don't know, but I put myself to sleep at night. Everyone has a different routine, but for me, it's an imaginative fantasy scenario of some kind that gets me into it, and then I live it, and then I fall asleep. So I had done that all these years while I was doing my conservatory and music stuff with my stories, Tales of the Ocean City. So I had my music degrees on one hand, and the other, the complete event structure of Tales of the Ocean City in my head. And then to get to your question there, I started writing it down first. It was good, you know, it was all right, but it really wasn't really happening. You know, it wasn't it, you know, that feeling that you get. And so then another thing that happened there around that time was I started developing my home laboratory, you know, what you can produce in your studio. And I was doing, like, independent films and stuff like that, scoring the music. And I put in my 1,000 hours, you know, and I had this whole stuff going, the orchestra and all these sounds and everything going on and the abilities. And they said, well, why not? And then I started narrating and recording my narration of the stories, Tales of the Ocean City, and composing the music. And so it all happened at once, and then that was it. Like, the sound, the experience of saying the words changed how I wrote them, and then I, you know, I literally found my voice with the music. And sometimes the music was first, sometimes the narration and story was first. Even though I knew what was going on in the story, what was going to happen, generally, a lot of things changed and grew as I did it. The first complete books, the first two books, were completely composed this way, with the music and the voice and the story all happening at the same time. Yeah. And that's like 2 hours of full orchestra, you know, like I'm a composer, right? So a doctor, you know, music symphony. So it's huge, symphonic, strong, really powerful, passionate music that is just a real part of it all. It's all together as one. And by the end of that, I had my voice and my storytelling was happening, you know. And then I did the physical books and I did the art and I worked on, you know, artistic illustrations and illustrative art and programs that helped me do that, using lots of them, blah, blah, blah. And so then the books were there. So then I had the physical books, and then the complete experience, theoretically, is for, you know, people, well, it is for people to have the book and be reading and listening at the same time, because each page of the books are filled with color, like full page color and illustrative arts and all kind of stuff, so that you can feel it and you see it, and the colors influence your feelings too in the book. So it all works together for a very immersive storytelling sound world universe that I created just organically by just doing it, and it just happened, and there it is. And then I continued.
Yes, I was listening to something you composed called Music from Earth. And I've actually been told verbatim, you are not of this earth. A few people have said I'm an alien, and that's a whole nother thing. But someone that might not be from Earth, who knows, maybe none of us are, you created music from Earth. It was very relaxing, and it created a soundscape environment to live in while I was preparing for this interview and showering. And it's you know, some music is maybe creates a mood more than others. Anyway, I just wanted to share that. I thought it was it just created a nice environment that I really enjoyed. Now, as a creative myself, let's say I'm shooting a movie on Friday, so I'm always working on some type of movie or film every like 2 or 3 days now. That's my life. And you know, just, you know, we don't know each other yet.
That's great.
So
that's great. Yeah.
Now, to do that, I'm mostly doing things that I want to do at this point in my life at almost 42, but I spent a lot of time doing things I didn't. But the point is, and my question for you is, in order to do the things I really want to do, like I think my role on Friday is going to be fun and it's cool, there's a lot of things I have to do that I really, really don't want to do. And there's something called Eat the Frog that says, you know, you have to get stuff done. Do the hardest thing when you first wake up, and do the hardest thing first. Eat that frog, get over it, and then you can do the stuff that's interesting. So when it comes to music composing and writing all these books, The Tales of the Ocean City, what's maybe something you really don't want to do, but you have to do, and it's part of the process?
To answer that question, what comes to my mind is not anything to do with the creative process of these projects, but, you know, what you have to do in life to keep yourself going. So I have a day job. I love it, but it's, you know, it's something you have to do that isn't exactly what you feel like doing at the moment. So, and mine is teaching. I teach music. Usually, you know, people who get doctorates in music composition go teach in colleges. But I never felt connected to the academic environment. I found it like, when I was trying to connect with it, I started writing my worst music. You know, it got more and more academic and then I stopped and I went my own way and rediscovered myself. In pieces, like you mentioned, Music from Earth. I was surprised you found it relaxing because the first movement is called Earth Rhythm, and it's like the depiction of volcanoes in the depths of the ocean, all this violent, wild, ecstatic, powerful music. Now, in the middle, maybe you got to the middle part that's peaceful, but...
Yeah, there was some part that was really nice. I enjoyed it, whatever it is.
Sure. Anyway, so...
So teaching. So a lot of times when you try to fit into someone else's mold, even for this radio show, I was thinking that. I was like, you know, I've kind of been doing what Mark, the main host, kind of told me to do and wants to do for 5 years. And I was like, I'm not going to disrespect him in any way, but my style is vastly different than probably 95% of the answers that I got for the show. Because when you're fitting into a school... Or if you're hosting for a company, you know, I've shot commercials for Optimum and Project Runway and different companies. That vibe is going to be very different when you're working for someone else than when you're creating for yourself, which might be completely the opposite of what you're doing. So I can understand that whole teaching, you know, putting you in a box and maybe making you do things that aren't exactly your instincts. Whereas hopefully when you're creating your own work, you can be the locus of control and do things that feel right for you. Do you do that?
Of course, yes. That is the way it is. You are your own boss in every way. I also put on concerts. So as a concert presenter, boy, that has a lot of work in it that isn't necessarily your first joy, which is, you know, developing advertisements and audience and asking people to come and getting them to come and all that kind of thing to come to the concert. Luckily, one of my concerts is called the Fantastic Theater, and it is once a year, the Sunday before Halloween in a theater, a beautiful theatrical environment, and it's like about presenting new music and art to people of all ages all at once. And it used to have a really strong Halloween theme, which is why it's around there. For that one, I solved the problem because I became friends with the guy who directs the Mark Twain Middle School Band. It's a really high-level band. And my daughter was in the band. That's how I met the guy. You know, she went to the school, middle school there. And so now I have the entire band come for my show, and they sit on stage throughout, like on a corner of the stage for the entire show, and all of their parents and guardians are required to be there, and then the school gives me a big check to pay for all of their tickets, and then I add other people, but I have like standing room only every year at minimal effort. I am so happy about that.
That's very cool, and that actually ties back to one of my brands called So Hot. It's a fashion brand, and it's all about making children do child labor for low wages.
Oh, great. So, yeah, that's a good one.
So that's kind of what you're doing. You understand, you know, put kids to work or put, you know, as I'm not going to mention his name, there's a comedy booker that refers to the people that are part of the show and watch the show as suckers. He's got to get suckers to come to the show and, you know, and children. Anyway, child labor, I'm a big fan of it. That's probably the only reason I would have children is to put them to work for me. But I'm not going to do that. You know, the cost-benefit ratio is just really not adding up. Now, you have to put in a lot of work just for the events. You know, I did comedy events and live shows and film festival shows. And just putting together one show for a film festival took me like 8 weeks. It took over my life. It took over everything. It was very exhausting. I did it for 3 years in a row. And honestly, for the last 2 years, I really enjoyed more making radio, movies, commercials, and forgetting these live events that are soul-sucking. How do you, what things do you have to cut out of your life or sacrifice to make time for all this productivity? I'm sure, you know, people say, oh, you can do anything. No, you use 24 hours in a day, and you have to neglect certain things if you're going to do other things. So, like, are there part of your life that you have to neglect to get all this stuff done?
Maybe in the past, but I've really got it all organized at this point where I can just be there all day, you know, be in that world. And but similar to your solution to things, I think next week, I hope, starting my own podcast where I will eventually include all my work. But starting it, it's going to be a new episode of Tales of the Ocean City each week. It was originally conceived as episodes, you know. So each podcast will have a 10-minute episode up front of Tales of the Ocean City, ongoing fantasy adventure with music and everything. And then the second half will be a variety of things. Interviews, poetic readings, blog entries that I turn into things I read and have music along with it and all kinds of things like that. Talk about fantasy authors like Lloyd Alexander, Lord Dunsany. I have a fun way of doing interviews, which is called the Phantasmagoria Club with Professor Calabash. And he interviews mythological figures and characters from my books. So you get to know the books better and the characters and get in depth with them through this fun device that I include. That will be starting up soon. And it gets to, you know, then I'll be able to say another thing that I do that I wish to, introduce you to are my environmental pieces. And here's an excerpt or a bit from Music from Earth. And then if you wish to explore further, you can go to my website and see all about that. So eventually I'll be able to tie together, you know, all the different things I do into that one place. And that's so much fun because I just create the episodes here in my studio, you know, where I love to work, my laboratory, and get everything going all put together. And so that's what I'm doing. It's kind of similar to what you're saying, how you wrapped things into a bubble that isn't constant. Out, you know, extroverted, getting people together to come to festivals so you can focus on your work, on yourself.
Yeah, having that home studio is really important. I had someone that wants me to start a podcast with him, which I've already done. I'm never partnering. It's all about features, but I'm never going to partner. I'm a lone wolf. That's it. I got my studio here, 2018, built this house, built wardrobe closets, have tons of props, have so much stuff that to fill up a car. It would take like 9 cars to bring this to Brooklyn, you know, to come to this studio. No, I have everything here because you have to have your process in your production studio. And some people don't understand that. So I'm like, I'm not traveling. If you want to come to me, maybe I'll feature you. But like, no, you can't. You can't bring musical equipment and lighting and props and special effects. So the process.
It's exhausting.
I have the process before I do everything. Before the show, I take a bunch of drugs. No, I take a bunch of legal drugs like coffee. Today, there's something called citicoline. Helps your brain a little bit. You know, it's legal. It wakes you up. Wheatgrass, I have out my door. I didn't have wheatgrass. I'm really upset about that. But wheatgrass, for anyone listening, it actually can wake your brain up so much that if you're on MAOIs, which I'm not, but, you know, some people take MAOIs and depressive drugs and things like that, it can make you manic. So your process... Are there any processes you do before composing music or writing a book?
Well, you know, I always want to get in shape, but basically I do like cold brew coffee, you know, where it's real simple to make, and I down some of that and get to work. It's just a constant process. I mean, one thing I love that's new to me, even though it's been around for a while now, is the cloud. So I can sit in my car and I'm waiting, you know, for my daughter to get in so we can drive somewhere, whatever it is. And I can pull out my phone and write. Just write. And then I go home and it's on my computer, you know. and vice versa. So anywhere you are, I can, you know, take, I just tell myself, okay, just do one word, just change one word, just do one paragraph. And then I end up working, and then she says, Dad, it's time to go. You know? So it's a constant thing like that. So it's just who I am, who you are, and you're just doing it kind of all the time without thinking about it, just doing it. You know, it's just after a while, that's just who you are. Your music comes to you, you write, you do it. It's more like you don't have to wait for anything. You don't have to wait for inspiration or anything like that. You just do it. You just do it, do it, do it, do it. And it's a constant flow.
Yes. A lot of the things I did when I was like 2, 3, 4, I'm doing now professionally and getting paid for it, like writing jingles or doing funny dances. And I used to entertain my dad's friends and just, you know, come in and have all these like fake commercials, and now I'm making commercials. Anyway, that my final thought for this, because we're at the end of the interview, which I've given this advice, you know, I'm only almost 42, so I've held back on giving advice. I used to give health seminars and be a fitness teacher, but I'm like, you know what, let's do more in life before we give advice. But I'm going to give one piece of advice that's worked for me, and it's obviously worked for you. Use the cloud for writing. And I had someone call me Crumpled Paper Girl like 10, 11 years ago, because I'd always walk around, I had all these notes, I'd write down notes everywhere, and then transcribing the paper to the computer, that would get crazy. So now on my phone, I highly recommend this for anyone writing a song, stand-up, music, movies, a 50 Cent tell-all documentary about Diddy, whatever you're creating. Get Microsoft OneDrive or, you know, some type of note-taking file that can go from your computer to your phone, to your pad, to your car, everywhere. And obviously, you know, you don't want to put anything explicit or incriminating, because that will end up everywhere and people will see it. So that's a little downside to this, but there's no excuses. You got an idea, you got a quote, you got a movie idea, get your phone out. You know, you can do it. I do it at a light. I'm not recommending people to text and drive or text while you're at a very long light. You know, there are 5-minute lights out there. But yeah, get everything on your written down in these files. And if you're not doing it, I think you're going to fail at life. So that's my mandatory rule for everyone I want to work with. And I tried to get this done with one producing partner, and he never did it. And that's one of many reasons why I'll never work with him, because he doesn't write notes. So that's my very long final thought. Please give
that's
us your final thought and where to find you.
My books and stuff are all at talesoftheoceancity.com. That's easy to remember, talesoftheoceancity.com. And my main website for my work, if you want to just see a bit of everything, is Sound Artists. That's Sound Art Us, U-S, Sound Artus, as kind of my interface from my creative world into the world. And so that's my home website, which has a lot of things in it. My pages are designed so you can scroll and get a lot in 30 seconds, but then you can dive in and delve in for as long as you want. And then I have a YouTube channel called Sound Artists on YouTube. And the playlists, and you can see the classical pieces, the environmental pieces, the stuff you're talking about, music from Earth and Hudson Valley music, and many of those, which are some of my most performed pieces. And then Tales of the Ocean City and audiobooks and all that kind of thing. And the Fantastic Theater, I have beautiful, like, 15-minute highlights films from my concerts, and you can see the whole thing right there, and they're fun to watch. So there you go. That's how you find me.
And what state, city, where are these concerts for people that want to go in person?
Downtown Brooklyn.
Downtown Brooklyn. All right. That's the end of the interview. We're way over time. Thank you so much for sharing your thoughts and also sharing your work with me. I found you very inspiring.
Thank you.
While I was taking a shower and getting ready. Yeah, sorry. So I do a lot of preparing in the shower and texting in the shower.
It has good acoustics.
That's a very weird final thought. That's what happens when I don't script the interview out. Thank you so much again. And now back to the studio for more It Came From the Radio.
Thank you so much.
Prithi Pratha, if you had any honor, you would listen to sci-fi.radio, the sci-fi for your Wi-Fi. Kapla!
Now, back to our show.
So that about does it for this week on It Came From the Radio. Join us right here every week on this radio station. If you miss any part of the show,
Tough.
Go to our newly revised website, www.itcamefromradio.com. The archives will be up in a week or so. Check us out on such places as btd.radio, sci-fi.radio. Check us out on our places such as Facebook, Instagram, YouTube page, Twitter.
And always follow the cost-benefit ratio. If the benefits outweigh the costs, do it. If the costs outweigh the benefits, don't do it. Or
just Google It Came From The Radio.
And we'll see you next week.
You've been listening to It Came From The Radio with Mark Torres. The views of the show's hosts and guests did not necessarily reflect that of the management, owners, or staff of the station. We now return you to your earthly scheduled broadcast.